Yeah, what's up, everyone? I hope you all are doing awesome tonight. So, when I was approached to do the whole 7-minute thing, I was like, wait, 7 minutes for one verse? That is like really stretching it, bro. I know I can do that. But as I was just kind of siphoning through scriptures, thinking of something to say, one verse really did stand out to me in particular, one that really, I feel like was never really talked about a lot. And so I'm just going to read it quickly. And it comes from John 5:39. And it says, "You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, yet they testify about me. But you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life." And so that verse and that kind of revelation only kicked in like the third or fourth time I read through it. I'll get to that like a little bit later. And so immediately when I started reading it, I was like, whoa, this is a very strange verse, because it's like the Pharisees, so a bit of context, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees in this. And so it really was particularly strange, because the Pharisees had all that they needed to be fruitful, but they weren't. They had the scriptures. They could have done something so much more, but they failed. When you look at them, you could swear that they never, ever read the scriptures. And it stood out to me, and it's like, they know the scriptures. And one of the qualifications of a Pharisee wasn't just to know the scriptures, it was to know the entire Old Testament by heart, from Genesis all the way to Malachi at the end. And so this verse really did stick out to me. And the reason why it stuck out to me at that time was because I was in the rebuking end of the scripture. So what happened was, for me at least, when I first came to faith, it was around about 2020, and I was lockdown time. And so I just had me and my Bible, and I was fine for a while. It was good. And then eventually I started asking myself deeper questions about it, like, actually, what does the Bible say? How do I know what I'm doing is right? And how do I get that clarity? And so I kind of just was on my phone, and I kind of got, like I was going to say, caught up in this whole sort of online Christian thing, not to say like being a Calvinist is bad or anything. I don't want to start anything here. And so there was this obsession with doctrinal purity. So every time I had to read the word, I was like so scared that I was going to think or get something weird. Like I was going to come to the wrong conclusion. And that really just burdened my heart when I began reading. And I began to live off secondhand revelations of who Jesus was through the eyes of theologians and philosophers. Like I couldn't read it for myself, because there was just so much of fear of going doctrinally wrong. And I didn't realize at that time, like, when I began reading John again, one thing was, when I read through this the third, fourth time, it stuck out to me because, I went through that. It really began to speak to me when it showed me what I began to do. Basically, what I did was I took the Bible, and instead of treating it as God's word, I made it into a doctrinal textbook. I couldn't commune with God because it became a thing of doctrine instead of a thing of relationship. And so when I read this, I was like, wow, I took your voice, Lord, and I made it into a doctrinal thing. I think, and that's how that verse changed. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm so new at this. Yeah, so much. And so I think that is, and that's really what convicted me. And I think that's what we do in our old Christian lives, is that I feel like the reason why we struggle so much with the word and we struggle so much in terms of reading it, interpreting it, is because we see it for something that it's not. Like, this isn't just a theology textbook. This isn't just life coaches, like a good advice. This book is God's living, inspired word. It wasn't written by theologians. This was written by God through man. Every word was divinely inspired, inerrant. And it's a book about God revealing who he is to us, not a book about these foreign kind of teachings. It is God revealing his heart, his spirit to us. And when we read it, we're not just studying some sort of book. In fact, it's like a divine appointment every time we open up, because we're not just opening up scriptures, we're opening up his voice to us. And when we begin to allow him to speak to us, that's when it changes. I think it's not just me, but like I feel like we really missed what this book can be, because we make this book like, I was talking to Chad about it. I think we think it's like a magic book that when we read it, we're just gonna automatically stop being happy. We're gonna automatically just be different people overnight. Actually, no, that's not it. And when we go in with that mindset of like, hey, I'm gonna try and be happy or try and get something out of it, we become like the Pharisees. We search for eternal life, and yet we don't receive it because we don't go to him. You see, it's not wrong to want to be happy, but it's wrong to put it over the scripture. See, the reason that we get joy from the scripture, the reason we get happy is because we come to Jesus who makes us happy. And that's the point of the scripture, to reveal to us who he is. And that's what makes it so special. And that's what I believe. Okay, I'm running out of time. And that's something that has been convicting me lately. Like, we see it for what it's not. It's like, we don't see it for what it truly is. And yet we miss the point. Actually, this book is so much more precious and beautiful than we can possibly imagine, because it's a book of God expressing himself to us. And in this kind of beautiful way, it's both parties are being, the reader and God, are being so vulnerable with each other, because God is revealing his heart and his will to us. And that is why it's so important that every person in the world one day should actually have this, because it is the expression of God. It is the voice of God, and it's so necessary that all people can have it, all people can read it, all people can know their Creator, because there's no greater blessing than to know our Creator, than to be in this core of communion. And that's what makes it so special. Sorry for saying again. That's what makes it so beautiful, because it's so much more than just reading. It's divine communion. And that's something that nothing in this world could give. You don't get that from anywhere else. You get that from here. And by opening up our heart and seeing it as this divine communion with the Lord, this is why that it's so important. Not only do we read it, but then we see that it's God speaking to us and his voice to us. Yeah. And that's like the land of that. Do I pray? Okay. Oh, let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word, which is just, it reveals who you are to us. Thank you, God, that regardless of how we feel or our thoughts, we have your word, which is your constant voice to us. And we pray, Father, that this word would go into our hearts so that we could hear your voice all the time, Lord. And we always want to be in the state of hearing who you are, hearing your word, hearing your voice. And Father, and where we've come and we've had this sort of alternate agenda when we're reading through the scripture, we pray, Jesus, that we would just seek you and seek you only, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen.